From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, John Rhodes joins us, the Crypto Hunter. Here's what's happening. Wildfires continuing to rage in Southern California on a second day as thousands of people in San Diego County are forced to flee their homes. A major fire engulfed the coastal town of Carlsbad, north of San Diego, scorching several buildings, forcing an amusement park to close. So far, 9 fires raging across San Diego County. It's unbelievable. 14 square miles at least have been burned up. Officials have ordered at least 20,000 people to leave their homes. 4 air tankers, 22 military helicopters employed fighting the fires. But here's what's interesting. Apparently, 8 of the 9 fires in the San Diego County area have a suspicious ignition point. That's just about all they're going to say right now. But to me, that sounds like arson. Or is it something even worse? And talking about burning, Sears is going through cash, burning it like crazy and closing stores. Sears has been on a downward spiral almost since the day it merged with Kmart back about 9 years ago, and that plunge seems to be picking up speed. The company has said this week it may sell 51% of its stake in Sears Canada, which operates nearly 20% of the company's stores worldwide, and it has quietly closed nearly 100 U.S. stores in the last year. Next week, it's expected to announce dismal fiscal first quarter results and possibly yet more store closings. Registered investment advisor Michael Shedlock with us. Mish, is it just a matter of time before Sears just bites the dust?
Absolutely. I mean, it never should have rallied after that merger with Kmart in the first place. It did. Part of the optimism. Yesterday, Walmart missed earnings. Kohl's missed earnings yesterday. And GM today. 5 more recalls, is it? 3 more recalls? 3 million vehicles.
3 million cars, yeah.
They're going to recall. And we talked about it last month. Home sales have slowed. The overall macro picture here looks dismal. And I keep asking myself, and I've asked you this question before. Okay, we don't need any more Sears. We don't need more Kmarts. We don't need more Pizza Huts. We don't need Walmarts. So what is it we need? Housing was, it didn't recover back to new heights, but at least we're building homes. Home builder optimism is now at multi-month lows. Meanwhile, prices are high, so people can't afford them. We've got the overhang of student debt. All the Fed has managed to do is paper over these problems and create a financial boom. The debt overhang is still there. And I don't see a driver for job growth.
You know what we need, Mish? We need a creative financial plan that puts money in the hands of Americans so they can go out and spend it on goods and services. And without it, I'm afraid that stores like Sears are going to fall apart. Sears is an icon. It's been around for years, hundreds. It's one of the biggest companies we've ever had. And it's gone. It's leaving.
It's leaving. I wonder.
It's frustrating.
I'm looking at GM again. You know, all of these problems here all at once. Meanwhile, the wage inequality is going through the roof, and I can tell you why. It's all the financial printing that's benefiting all of the banks. It's not benefiting the average guy in the street. Oh, one more thing. Food prices today. The last CPI came out today. The last 3 months, food inflation has been averaging 3% annual. People can't afford to buy food now, George.
Well, that could be a problem, Michael. Michael's website, his blog, you find it on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Lunesta may help you doze off at night if you take it, but it's the morning after now that has officials concerned, which is why they have recommended that the dosage be cut in half for the well-known sleep aid. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration cited data showing that a person may be less alert and do things such as driving less safely the day after taking Lunesta. So just take heed on that. The Federal Communications Commission has voted in favor of advancing a proposal that could dramatically reshape the way you experience the internet, opening the possibility of internet service providers charging websites for higher quality delivery of their content to American consumers. The plan, approved in a 3-2 vote, could unleash a new economy on the web where an internet service provider like a Verizon would charge a website such as Netflix for the guarantee of flawless video streaming. Let's check in, of course, with Loren Weinstein. He's the expert in the internet. Loren, tell me right now, what does this all mean?
Well, there's a technical term for this, and that term is a total mess. it was really unbelievable at the FCC. I can't recall the last time there were not only protests outside the commission headquarters in Washington, but there were protesters inside who actually got thrown out because they were disrupting the proceedings. And you can't blame them because these proceedings are just leading us into a really, really bad place. Unfortunately, Mr. Wheeler, the chairman, it was a top wireless and cable industry lobbyist, and I'm sure he's trying to be fair. Mm-hmm. But what's coming out of the commission right now? I mean, what they voted on today? Let's be clear about this. What they voted on today was the start of a proceeding. So now a public comment period opens up, and I think you'll find that the public comments on this are going to be absolutely, almost totally negative toward this plan, except what AT&T and Verizon, for example, will say. They've already said, by the way, just a couple of days ago, they sent a letter to the commission saying, if you even think about doing anything that's going to hurt us, we're going to stop building. You know, it's sort of like, the little kid, hold my breath until I turn blue, take my ball and go home. It's a terrible situation, George, because what we're looking at here now is the U.S. has essentially it's become the laughingstock of the internet in a lot of ways, because compared with countries like Korea and countries in Europe and Australia, other places all over the world, we pay much more for our internet. We have slower speeds. We have virtually no effective competition because the giant dominant carriers like AT&T and Verizon and the others have they've got the country carved up into little pieces, and they have complete control. They're putting on the bandwidth caps and doing the rest. So now we're faced with this whole issue of them wanting to charge companies to let the subscribers of these cable companies, for example, and DSL, AT&T, and such, to have access to the websites. And this is what happened with Netflix. Netflix basically had to pay extortion money.
And they want more money now. And it's all about money, isn't it, Lauren?
The whole idea of the internet going all the way back, and we talked about this, is it was supposed to be a balanced system with open access. Subscribers pay for access. You pay for your internet access. I pay for my internet access. And we expect to get that data that we pay for. But those giant companies like Verizon and AT&T, the giant dominant ISPs, they want to charge in both directions. They want to charge the sites that you connect to. They want to charge you. They want to charge everybody. And if you want a connection that's good enough to watch a video, they want to charge even more. So I think what's going to happen here is that as this comment period opens up, and I urge people to contact the commission about this, because this is something that's very, very important. Remember, they want to move the telephone network over to the internet, unregulated, onto the same situation that we're dealing with. So our basic phone service and emergencies and things would be tangled up in all this too. I would suggest calling the commission, contacting the commission, and saying, hey, you're going about this wrong. What they need to do, and the commission has said this is theoretically on the table, though no one really thinks they have the guts to do it, is reclassify the giant ISPs as common carriers.
That's right.
That's what really has to happen, and that's what I think people should be demanding the FCC to do.
That would make it easier. Loren, thank you so much. In a moment, we're going to be talking about the emissary. Patricia Corey back with us on Coast to Coast. You will not believe what's been going on in the oceans. She's next with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Patricia Corey back with us, of course. She's been a columnist for the UFO Today, hosted the popular radio program on the BBS radio Beyond the Matrix, where she took on subjects that explored the realms of ETs and UFOs. She founded the not-for-profit Save Earth's Oceans, dedicated to restoring the balance of a very fragile ocean system, saving whales and dolphins, and has a new novel out called The Emissary. Patricia, hello.
How are you, George? Thank you for having me back.
This is fascinating. It really is. Though it's a novel, there's a lot of real fact there, Patricia.
That's what I'm using the novel form to bring as much information as I can through. So it's my first novel. The others have been nonfiction, and this is to reach out to more people who can listen and hear with fiction as a, let's say, protective shield against things that they might not think they're ready for.
Give us an overview of what you believe is happening in the oceans.
Well, I am screaming and yelling about the Navy, primarily about the Navy warfare testing in the oceans, and there is significant development to the negative variety where our Navy, the U.S. Navy, plans to increase the number of exercises and expand the areas in which they're doing bombing, chemical tests, extreme sonar, laser testing, electromagnetic weapons, and other a basic war on the oceans. And this is in the Atlantic, in the Pacific, in the Gulf of Mexico, and I believe they're extending now out into foreign waters.
Okay, by doing all this work, and they're doing a lot of sonar testing too and using that, you think that is changing the complexity of the oceans with the sea animals, the whales, the dolphins? How bad is that?
Well, if you consider, for starters, that whales and dolphins, and there are so many other marine mammals, but particularly the whales and dolphins, we know they echolocate. They have extraordinary oral cavities with which they use to navigate migration routes. Their communication systems, the sounds that they emanate, are possibly much more important than simply mating, hunting sounds, but there's a lot of potential here of understanding that to be more about actually having some impact on the actual essence of water. We've been shown by the wonderful Masaru Emoto how water molecules respond to sound, to prayer, to thought. And I understand and believe that it's very possible that the whales and dolphins are actually connecting with the essence of the water and holding our oceans together. Because a humpback whale can sound a 35, 40-minute musical melody 1,000 miles away, and that can be picked up by another humpback whale and sounded another 1,000 miles away, as if almost as if they're doing a relay of important sounds around the planet.
And Patricia, beyond this, what I found fascinating about the Emissary work was this apparent correlation between whales and submerged alien craft. You got to explain that.
The Emissary is a story of whales communicating with one psychic woman who has made contact with some dying whales on the beach in New Zealand. And the story evolves that they're telling her, look, you've got to pay attention. The sonar is destroying the oceans. And as the story evolves, we are led to understand that the whales are actually hovering by, protecting, and resonating with underwater bases in the Pacific Ocean, underwater colonies, actually. And, of course, if you think about all of the sightings we've had all over this planet, what better place to hide an alien civilization than underwater, right?
Well, that's right. And we hear so many stories, so many reports of submerged UFOs that bust through the ocean top and off they go, or go right down in, and they could see the lights for some time. It's fascinating. The fact that you brought it into the novel, I find fascinating as well. Do you think that truly is going on?
Absolutely. We've got reports from the Orkney Islands, the Arctic Circle, Iceland. You know that in Iceland, people leave food for the little gray people, they call them. North of Scotland, we've got the Devil's Triangle in Japan, Bermuda Triangle. Come on, off the coast of Cuba. And I'd love to talk about that. Because knowing you, George, I'm sure you're aware of this sighted X in the water near Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Linda Moulton Howe did a report years ago on that.
She's so knowledgeable.
And there was going to be an expedition, and I believe the woman's last name was Zelensky. And I don't think she raised the money to be able to go back there. So what's going on? Do you have an update?
Well, there's this underwater base. It seems to move around so that when they do satellite photography, they can't always see it. But there are these huge, there's this two X. They look like a runway. And lo and behold, doesn't one of these runways point directly at Guantanamo Bay?
Yes.
Now, we've got military people coming out and describing seeing life underwater. And I think it's very interesting. Number one, I always like to propose to people, what exactly are we doing having a military base in Guantanamo Bay to start with? Why is the United States holding a military base in an enemy, so-called enemy nation? And why are we the Navy is laying optic fibers across this body of water? I believe that one of the reasons is because they're in touch with this base, and that's why Guantanamo is there, to either be communicating with or keeping an eye on this underwater base. But one thing's for sure, scientists and military people, too, have said this is not a natural formation. This cannot be a natural formation under the water. It looks like a runway. Absolutely.
You know, they've had a lease there for a long, long time, and I'm sure they would love to extend it.
Now, the problem, exactly. The problem is that anybody that tries to go there and investigate it gets turned down immediately. Either the Cubans or the United States don't allow visitors to that region. So we need to get people to be able to go out there. And so far, we've had very little, response from the powers that be. No surprise there, right?
I think they signed that lease, that treaty, in 1903.
Holy moly.
That's a long lease, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's the infinite lease. But there are these places, points on the planet. This is, I like to propose, and I propose in The Emissary, doesn't it make sense that there are underwater civilizations? Where else would you hide a colony of aliens? Think about it.
Well, and the whales and dolphins would know, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, that's what's very exciting, because obviously the whales and dolphins are operating on vibrational frequencies. They have these extraordinary mechanisms for sound. And if there are alien ships coming in and out of the oceans, I propose that the whales and dolphins know a lot more about it than we do.
I think so, too. Now, let's get back to the seismic activity as well with sonar. There's something called a seismic air gun array. What is that?
All right. The seismic air gun, it's such a frightening thing. Imagine a large piston with a plunger, and this plunger discharges compressed, high-pressure air bubbles into the ocean. So it creates a powerful sound base, and that's why it's called the air gun. And what we are talking about here is a pressure wave field, which gets pushed downward, pushed below the seabed, and then it moves down into the earth below it, because supposedly they're looking for oil deposits or whatever. And then when it comes back up, I don't know enough about technology, but this is a mechanism to be able to measure the density of what's under the crust and hopefully be able to measure where there are pockets of oil. But meanwhile, imagine what this is doing to these highly sensitive animals.
Well, you know, I do know that they've trained dolphins, for example, to put explosives on the bottom of ships, you know, with their heads. They pop them up there and then they supposedly take off. They're magnetized, but, you know, I don't know.
What greater abuse of humanity than to be making war animals out of the loving, beautiful, joyous dolphins? That is a crime against the planet. You know, we just heard about in Crimea, in the Ukraine situation, the Russians just took hold of a whole fleet of Navy dolphin warriors.
Well, it is. It's sad. But it's happening, and it's happening all over the planet.
It is indeed.
We can't give away the ending to The Emissary. I don't want to do that to you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
We can't give away the ending.
Well, we don't want to.
We can't do that.
Hopefully people will read it.
But there are many surprises in this novel.
There are.
Now, when you were putting it together, was some of it based on the fictional mind of Patricia Corey?
Yes, I've been told I have a very fertile creative mind, but I'm passionate about all the subjects that are and the threads that are brought through in the story. I'm passionate about UFO. I'm passionate about how alien craft move around in space. And of course, I have an immense passion for whales and dolphins, as you remember from our last show together.
Absolutely.
But I'm very concerned about what's going on in the oceans, and this thread about sonar is a very big part of the story.
All right, we're going to talk more about this, Patricia, when we come back in a moment. Patricia Corey with us, her work, it's called The Emissary. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Patricia Corey with us. Patricia, let's get a handle then on this. You are saying that the Navy is doing what in the oceans and why?
The Navy has just initiated a new five-year program called it's called warfare testing, supposedly for the national interest. And this includes exercises that include laser weapons, sonar, excruciating sonar weapons, radar, electromagnetic weapons, bombing, chemical testing. There's an all-out war on the oceans, and this is going to take place now in the Atlantic, Pacific, and the Gulf of Mexico for reasons that are not clear, and not enough people are asking about it anyway. But it is understood, and they've actually come out and said that they anticipate, and this is a quote, that they will have 2.3 million takes a year for 5 years. That's 11.7 million takes of mammals, which they define as disruption in marine mammal foraging, breeding, and other essential behaviors.
Now, is this done on purpose, or are they doing this because they need to for some military reason?
Well, I'd love to know what the reason is that we need another, because they've already done a five-year testing program. This is now an extended program.
Uh-huh.
And I ask myself, what is it exactly that we're testing for that we have to continue to destroy the oceans? Because now all bets are off. There will be no marine sanctuaries. There is a marine sanctuary for right whales in the Gulf of Mexico. That's fair game. That will mean no more breeding for these whales, which are already in extinction. And I ask, what importance has this for what? What is this about? Is this about protecting our shores? I don't think so. I think there's something more diabolical going on.
Do you have any idea what that could be?
Well, you know, I'm an old conspiracy theorist turned conspiracy realist, and I would like to suggest that there is an intention to lower the vibration of this planet. Because war seems to not be good for us, and now the oceans are fair game. And it would appear to me that this is overkill in every sense of the term, to be bombing, chemically destroying, and then we won't even mention nuking, which is a whole other show. But this is definitely overkill. Why is the Navy so intent on all of these war games in the oceans? And, you know, we already have the ocean floors are lined with all kinds of military debris, and you know all about Core Exit and what that's done to the Gulf waters.
Yes, yeah, sure.
And I think that there are two possibilities. One is that this is man gone insane, and the other is that there may be a more diabolical purpose to this. And I think we should consider that there may be a very well intention to lower the frequencies of the ocean. Now, that's not that hard to believe if you consider that we are seeing deliberate climate change warfare. I'm sure you'll agree about that.
Well, there's no question that they know how to manipulate the climate.
Exactly. What better weapon is there? We've always known that the military was heading there. Control the weapon, the climate, and you control any other country.
Are there other countries doing this too?
I've heard that also the United Kingdom has also initiated these programs, but I would imagine that's going to follow suit around the globe.
Russia?
Yes.
China?
I can't verify to that, but I would imagine so. But the question is why? What is so important about what are they doing off these coasts of our land masses? And why is there no concern other than to say, oh, gee, so sorry, we're going to take 12 million mammals?
Are the mammals collateral damage here?
That's exactly right.
Sad.
12 million. We can't lose 12 million whales and dolphins. There won't be any whales and dolphins in the future of human existence. And They play a very important role. And my message in the emissary is their role is more important than just being beautiful, gorgeous creatures out in the sea.
Let's take some calls, and I want to come back to this UFO application here, too. We'll go to Ted in Moses Lake, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, Ted, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning and good evening, George, and thank you so much, Patricia, for your wonderful work and having George for having her on tonight.
Thank you.
The big question I'd like to ask, and I so appreciate your work, is Fukushima. I know you just mentioned it a minute ago, but every day 85,000 gallons of highly radioactive water is being dumped knowingly and willingly by the Japanese government at Fukushima without any end in sight. They have no plans to stop it. Certainly this must affect dolphins and whales. I agree that the militarization of the ocean is a terrible problem, but I have my own radio talk show in Seattle called Out of This World on KKNW, and we've talked about Fukushima quite a bit. And I agree with you that the Navy is intent on militarizing the ocean. But you have to ask yourself, and I think you've done a good job of this in your book, why? Why would we ever want to kill these loving, wonderful creatures? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts, but I can't see why.
Well, yeah, it's hard to believe that there could be a diabolical plan to bring the vibration of our planet down to a very dark place. And one of the possibilities is that if I'm right, and if the whales and dolphins' purpose really is to hold our oceans intact vibrationally, then destroying their song and destroying the work they do to relay that music around the planet may very well serve some bizarre purpose that could be from anything from even to fulfilling some sort of a mandate that the governments have for some not-so-friendly off-Earth beings. I know that's pretty far out there.
I really think, though, Patricia, they're collateral damage for some reason. I don't think, you know, the Navy, for example, intentionally is going out there to try to kill whales and dolphins. I think they're dying because of whatever they're doing.
That's probably true, but here's a question that we need to ponder, George. Why, 3 years later, has nothing been done about Fukushima? Why, on a planet where we have nuclear physicists of the highest caliber, have the great minds of this planet not rallied to Fukushima 3 years ago, much less today, still nothing, to find ways to stop this horrific destruction of our ecosystems?
Well, I think they know that people will scream about all the other nuclear plants, and they don't want to go there.
Well, why don't we make them go there? 8 billion people on this planet are affected by this radiation from Fukushima, and the same thing happened with the BP disaster in the Gulf. Why, 3 years later, were not the experts that could possibly have affected solving the problem? Why was nobody called in? Why was BP left to handle the emergency?
Most people, Patricia, still today,
has it not been resolved?
Most people don't want to get involved. Simple as that. You know that. They just don't want to get involved.
Well, then we're in deep doo-doo.
Yes.
And I think that the consciousness of the human race, now is the time where we have to seriously wake up to the fact that there are two options. One is we're in the hands of utter incompetence.
That's possible.
And the other is that it's deliberate. I don't see a third
option. Or a combination of both. Let's go to Sue in Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Sue. Thank you for calling.
Hi, George, and hi, Patricia.
Thank you
for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to affirm first, George, it's true that Patricia reported about the U.S. Navy deploying both killer, if you want to call it, dolphins, as well as sea lions that we've been trained to go into the Black Sea at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not aware, and I would like to ask Patricia what information and where she received the information about the capture then of the mammals that are being used for this purpose.
Okay, thank you for that question, Sue. In the current situation in the Ukraine, there was an army called the Navy Dolphin Army in the Crimean harbors, and Russia There's a military dolphin program. It's based in the city of Sevastopol in the Black Sea Fleet. And now the Russians have taken over these dolphins. They're being trained for a variety of tasks, including patrolling open waters with detection devices, mines, going in and clearing mines out of the ocean waters, and even attack missions. And if you want to find out more about that information, that the horrible information, you can certainly find out about it by searching Ukraine Navy dolphin fleets. But we also have them in the United States, and as I understand it, the Navy dolphin warriors are also in are being deployed in many U.S. wars. Of course, we have so many, I can't even put my finger on which one at the moment.
Now, I had heard, Patricia, that these dolphins were trained to, you know, put a magnetic type weapon bomb on the bottom of hull of a ship, and then they escape. Is that true, or do they get blown up too?
That is true, but I would imagine they don't always get always escape, and they're also sent into mined waters to clear the mines. And if they get killed, that's tough.
I think some of these bombs could blow up the moment it's attached to the ship, so they probably would get blown up.
Exactly, but I'm sure that whoever is sending them to get blown up is calling that collateral damage as well.
Now, the UFO influence that you bring into the picture in The Emissary, which you also believe is possibly true, and we have, again, incredible amounts of reports of submerged UFOs, so something's going on under there. Why haven't they stopped this? I'm not sure they get involved in anything we do.
The alien underwater? Mm-hmm. That's a very good question, and of course there is a movement of people that is waiting for alien intervention in human affairs, and of course of the good variety, because we already believe we've got
the bad
alien
ones.
Intervention.
Yeah, the bad ones are already doing what they do,
working with the government. But that's a very good question. Where are the, let's say, the ETs who are going to help us deal with this mess and the polarity on the planet? And I'm not sure I've got an answer for that. I do think there are colonies of ETs all over the place on the planet, and very possibly the ones who are in a positive intent, perhaps they don't even know what to do to help. Perhaps they've been around here longer than we have. You know, the Homo sapiens has not been on the Earth that long.
Nope. If you agree with the theory of the late Zechariah Sitchin, we were created about 400-some thousand years ago.
Yeah, and that's very similar to my earlier work with the Syrian revelations. Well, whereas whales and dolphins have been around for millions and millions of years. And it's not to say that while we think about aliens invading our waters, who's to say that we haven't got colonies underwater that have been here for millions of years?
Let's go to Michael in Billings, Montana, first-time caller. Hello, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I was curious if you think, you know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, if this is all about terraforming the planet, or if it's possibly due to some outside influence, such as a celestial object or something like that.
Terraforming the planet, maybe destroying the planet. I'm not sure about terraforming it.
Exactly.
It's already clicking along. Now, if this were to happen on Mars, yeah, they would love to terraform.
Well, I think they are terraforming Mars.
They
want to. That's another funny situation. I know this is getting off your question, but we've got 3-4 little vehicles on Mars driving around, doing what they do. And if you look at some of the great websites that are out, like Mars Anomaly Project, and see some of the lakes and rivers and forests on Mars, either they were there all along, and we've been duped about this being an uninhabitable planet, or they very well may be terraforming there. But I agree with you, George. I don't know that this would be what's going on in the oceans is highly destructive to this planet, and it has to be stopped.
Any possibility of The Emissary being turned into a Hollywood movie?
Thank you for asking that question, because the good news is, yes, I wrote the screenplay first, and my publisher loved it and said, give us a novel version.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you. So the screenplay was picked up before the novel was even finished by Global Entertainment, Universal Entertainment. And I'm going to L.A. in a few days, and hopefully I'll be meeting with my producer and getting good news.
Well, that is great news. You excited about that?
I'm so excited. I can't wait to see, first of all, see it turned into film and know that many more people are going to be able to get that message.
Are you going to have the alien interaction in the film?
Oh, yeah. That's a very important theme in the story.
Well, it sure is.
And that's why it's in a novel form, so I can get away with all of those concepts and storylines and be able to bring it to mainstream.
Now, we know, Patricia, that the ocean is huge. Like, they can't find this Malaysian airline, even though I suspect it could be on land somewhere.
But it's another dimension.
But it's a big ocean. I mean, 500 years later, they find maybe the Santa Maria, one of Columbus's ships.
Exactly.
Can the Navy or any other group truly affect the oceans? It's so big.
Well, it's so big, but Jacques Cousteau in 1990 said the ocean, 90% of our oceans are dead.
By us?
Yeah, and I mean, the truth is, we're decimating the oceans. This is a very grave situation, and we are blind to it because we live on this earth, and our understanding of the ocean is limited pretty much to the coastal experience and sport that we enjoy in the oceans. But the bottom line here is, if you're bombing and nuking and blasting the oceans, of course it's going to be dramatically altered. And we're seeing huge pods of whales and dolphins dying. We're seeing on the West Coast, I don't want to be a bearer of bad news here.
No, but it's true. It's true.
But,
it's sad and true.
The starfish have turned to mush. The sardines are gone. Something's happening in the ocean.
The tuna is polluted.
The tuna is, yeah. Anybody who's still eating tuna needs to really get with the program. They're utterly laced with mercury. And now we've got other issues, and that is, of course, the radiation. But just remember that this sonar is blowing the brains out of these whales and dolphins.
I used to love
1,000 die off in Peru recently because of the sound. 1,000 dolphins recently were blown out of the, they all washed up on the beach and nobody knew what it was. And then they found out that there were sonar tests, and they were literally.
And I think dolphins are smarter than humans. I really
do. I do too.
If they had thumbs, who knows what they'd be able to accomplish, you know?
Well, that's another interesting aspect, and that is, are we going to break through and really have communication with these beings soon? Because there's a lot of scientists, a lot of marine biologists, and neuro-linguists who are truly working on breaking through.
Yeah, I think the sound patterns may be very surprising one day. Patricia, almost out of time, where do people get The Emissary?
The Emissary is available in all bookstores, and if they don't have it, you can ask for it. It's also available from my site, which is theemissary.net. It's on Amazon. You ask for it, you'll find it.
You got it. Patricia, thank you so much.
Thank you, George. It's been great.
I'll be back in a moment with the crypto hunter, John Rhodes, as we talk about creatures far and wide on Coast to Coast AM.